Oh, no. See, future, current, future, present, my brain and me are both mad at past Jack's brain and past Jack. Hello, Internet, and welcome to the A to Z Horrorcast. This is the Creatively Taught Podcast brought to you by us over at azhorror.com. I'm Jack, and sitting across from me is Jake.
No tricks, but maybe some treats, Jack.
Sitting next to Jake, it's someone else who wants you to go private. It's Mark.
Hey.
That's a good one. That's creepy. For those of you unfamiliar with our Cracker Jack operation, we watch and review one horror movie a week, and then we get drunk and argue about it. And this week, we watched 2015's Girl House, which was a Mark pick.
Yep.
And we will dive all the way into that real soon.
Surprising no one.
Mark picking the porn ones? No.
Fair warning, we're going to spoil the absolute nonsense out of it. And hey, we do have a Patreon going, but we're not where your money should be headed right now. So, as it has been for a long time now, all of our Patreon proceeds are going to Planned Parenthood to support the bodily autonomy of women and other persons who can become pregnant. So you can head on over to patreon.com/ATOZHorror. Support the show at your level of choosing, get some perks for your troubles, and know your money's going somewhere better than our dumb asses. If you can't swing that right now or just don't want to, that's cool. We just appreciate you being here, hanging out with us, having some fun in the horror world with us for at least the next little bit. And boys, you know what that means. It's time to do the getting drunk part. So on that score, let's do beers for fears. Hey, Mark.
Hello.
I think I did a pretty good job. Let's
just
do beers
breathe,
for
man.
What are
just
your
breathe.
Beers for these fears?
You can tell how good a job you did when you ran out of breath.
Yeah, it was perfect. It's
gasping
efficient.
At the end
I got exactly to the end
God,
of my breath.
I almost
that's
got that
that's an efficient paragraph.
I was so close to getting that beer.
Well, good. That means it was a good choice. Yeah. I don't know if you actually asked me this question, but I am drinking a Meowza double IPA. This is a harkening back to what would you say, like Looney Tunes? I would say, like when they're properly objectifying Betty Boop or whoever it is.
Meowza.
Meowza. This one happens to be more cat themed. Yeah.
Ooga.
Yeah, your jaw hits the table.
Yeah, it's the ooga.
This one's also cat themed, and we are notably a pro cat podcast. So. I felt like that fit in pretty well with this movie about young women objectifying themselves for a job.
We're going to talk about what this movie's about in a little bit here. I went a similar direction. Now, full disclosure, I had to watch this movie in two different pieces because I've been very busy at work recently. And the first piece, I got about a third of the way through the movie and knew vaguely about the movie. So I went and got my beer on my way home from work the next day. And I got a Pussy Grabs Back extra pale ale. From Honolulu Beer Works here, because of the feminist nature. And it works in terms of the kind of final girl winning, but it doesn't work. It's not as feminist a movie in theme as I thought it was
expected
after the first third of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'll
it does. It takes a turn.
but Pussy Grabs Back, it works because the protagonist wins in the end, final girl. I've got this beer before. Jake?
Yeah, I think you had that for American Mary, if I remember correctly, which was also a good choice.
I kind of
thank you.
It's
a good go-to for, like, final girls. And
I toyed with the
it's
idea
local.
Of Jack getting that beer in my mind when I was thinking about what our beers would be for this podcast. My beer is from Mother Earth Brewing here in
Ooh.
Boise. This is Idol Worship Hazy IPA. Loverboy, primary antagonist in this movie, has a bit of a situation where he idolizes these women, one in particular, our main character, as you just mentioned, Jack, the final girl, worships her in a very strange way, because that's what happens with antagonists like this, and it turns into a slasher.
Yes, indeed.
That's what
goes
wrong,
I like
see?
It. Also, I like Mother Earth, because it's the only Boise beer I can reliably get here in Honolulu.
Oh, there you go.
I don't
it's
know why
It's probably because
but...
of the San Diego brewery.
Probably. Yeah.
Seems more logistically reasonable for them.
You never know.
No, what?
No, they're shipping that one. They're shipping that shit from Boise.
They, yeah,
sure.
Those ships,
ship
those ships come straight.
From
no,
Boise.
Those ships come straight up the rivers up to
Lewiston.
Exactly, up to Lewiston, right up the.
Yeah,
channels.
Just put it on a truck to Lewiston and then put it on a barge.
Precisely.
So a lot of there's some stand up paddleboarding involved here as well.
Sup it up the waterways.
It's a smaller crew. You know, they have one person to pay.
Exactly. Either way, pretty good job all around, boys. But drinking beers and watching Girl House, I remembered, isn't the only thing we did in the horror world over the course of last week, and ordinarily we'd tell you about it, except for that as we record this, it is the very end of the month, that being January of 2023, so we gotta talk about what horror movies are coming out in the next month, that being February of 2023. Let's do the horror release roundup over HR.
Yay.
I am scattered.
You sound enthusiastic.
Can you tell we haven't recorded in a month, listener?
Yeah, it's been a while since we recorded, and I'm like fresh off an important meeting, so my brain is elsewhere presently.
Just, you know.
Chill, let's do bro. It.
Just do it.
So why don't we talk about our dark horse picks and then top ones for the month, and then whatever else happens to catch our fancy. Jake, what's your dark horse pick for February of 2023?
There's a number that I think could fit into this one. Ultimately, my pick is Outwaters. So
good.
This seems like a Mark pick.
Is it Outwaters or The Outwaters?
I don't remember. I typed Outwaters, but it's also note, so it could be shorthand. It's either The Outwaters or Outwaters.
I had it written up as The, but is way too much conversation about
The
that.
Outwater. It seems like the type of conversation this podcast provides, Mark.
That's the trenchant analysis.
We'll finish the discussion off air. This is your found footage du jour that is complete with all of the possible pull quotes to hype this up that you could possibly imagine. Right?
So many.
Yeah. So fucking many. I don't know if it's going to be good, but it certainly seems to think it's going to reinvent or at least add a new terrifying chapter to what found footage can provide. This is a group of kids. They're out in the woods. They're getting fucked with. This is definitively a people getting fucked with in the woods film. I'm always on board for those. So is it going to be good? Like I said, I don't know. My money's on no, but it might be, guys.
It looks very lo-fi. The only reason I didn't immediately magnetize to it was...
Yeah.
There's not a lot going on here. And also the first pull quote in the trailer is like a poetic and artistic bloodbath or something. I don't know. It's been a minute.
There are so many pull quotes.
There's so many, and they're all a lot.
But I like my bloodbaths like Girl House. I don't like my bloodbaths like a fucking art museum.
I like my bloodbaths like Girl House, devoid of any deeper meaning whatsoever.
Yeah. Just dumb fun.
And
the one that got me was a terrifying comma.
A little bit of porn.
A terrifying, suffocating visual experience.
Yes, thank you. They're all like that, listener. We always say don't watch the trailer. If you're interested, watch this trailer. But maybe
you
actually watch
the film.
This
trailer doesn't seem to give any way. And then I wrote down the other notable pull quote, which is an assault entirely unlike anything found footage audiences have ever been subjected to.
Thank you, Jack. Like, what the fuck are these?
Good note taking.
Yeah.
I think there's a good skit here. If we ever made sketch comedy, we could do like a guy getting interviewed walking out of a screener.
Yeah.
It's like so totally effusive about the movie. Just, oh, I loved it. Yeah, I was bombarded by violence and death, and I feel like I want to kill myself. It was amazing.
We're gonna have to workshop that a
little
bit. Pull quote came from
just off the top of my head. It needs a little work.
I'll say friendly podcast. We've talked to him a couple of times on Twitter and such. Nightmare on Film Street.
Yep.
And that makes me wonder if a movie has to tell you when they use your pull quote and if we're out there on any pull quotes, because there was a time we weren't that divergent in size of audience. I imagine now it's very divergent.
Jack, you have to see a movie before it comes out in order to have a pull quote in a trailer.
We've done that a couple of times.
Jack,
we've done it like thrice.
I've never followed up with the PR person about, here's our review of it.
Yeah, you're suggesting that other podcasts try and we're just out here soul skating? Because that's exactly what's happening.
Hell yeah, Team Puppet Sons for life, bud. Either way, it's a good pick, Jake. The lo-fi-ness does make it a very true dark horse. It could and
I had some others on that list.
I don't always need to be suffocated by a viewing experience. I watched, was it Possession? Possession? What was the Rebecca Hall movie that I talked about at the end of last year? Maybe it was Possession. Maybe it was Resurrection.
You gushed about Resurrection.
Possession is the one from 1983 that was also just released on Shudder.
Okay, gotcha. No, I watched that. Yeah.
That was weird.
Resurrection, and it. That was a suffocating viewing experience.
Yeah.
And I did that.
I don't want to be suffocated by my movies.
In very specific circumstances, I don't want to know that the viewing experience is going to be suffocating, but sometimes I really like a good suffocating visual experience. experience.
Yeah, thank you. Good.
A good suffocation.
I like a little carotene in my life.
Exactly. I was just going to say the same shit. Like some autoerotic asphyxiation.
Mark, why don't we go around the horn here before we get to Jake's other ones? What do you got? What do you got in the dark horse world?
Yeah, so The Outwaters was pretty far up the list for me, but I went with one that it's been a long time coming that Winnie the Pooh lost its creative license.
That was the other main one on that list, yeah.
Or its intellectual property license or whatever your lawyer people would say. But now it's officially part of
it's copyright expired.
Yeah, that one. Now it's part of public domain and you can
do
whatever the fuck you want to do with it.
Yeah.
Notably, Winnie the Pooh did not lose its creative license, because here's some creativity in Winnie the Pooh-dom.
This
right
might
here.
Be the most creativity ever for Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah. Christopher Robin comes back, and all of the animals are still there, and they fucking hate him, and they start murdering everyone. It's
They've had a rough go, man. He abandoned them.
Someone builds an Airbnb in the 100-acre forest or whatever.
Also, Winnie the Pooh is just a dude dressed up as Winnie the Pooh with an axe. It's amazing.
Well, he's a man now.
This is going to be a terrible movie that is fucking awesome.
Maybe. And that's
so,
why
yeah.
it's a dark
it might
horse.
Just be terrible.
It looks wild. I love that it exists. It happened. I mean, the copyright did not expire that reason. Like, they put this thing together quick and made it actually happen. I love it. I sure wasn't convinced. We saw the, like, very ultra teaser for it, like the silhouette of Pooh and Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, 8 months ago or something, and I was like, that can't be real, but I hope
oh,
it
yeah,
is.
Oh, yeah, I thought
and
it was just some
out.
Fan
Yeah, like
trailer.
A fan-made trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very real, and it looks awesome.
Good
I'll
for
also
them.
Note, the there's another movie I don't really want to talk about this month coming out called Medusa's Venom, and it was heavily advertised as from the producers of Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, a movie
oh,
which was
yeah.
not out yet.
I don't recall
That's
seeing that in the trailer.
Pretty fucking
That's awesome.
Big month for that fellow.
Damn. Absolutely. Well, I could have gone the Outwater, so I'll go a very different direction for Dark Horse picks. I'll go Attachment. This was the Jewish folk horror pick. One, it looks very creepy. Two, we don't get enough like Jewish folklore horror movies.
Although I feel like we have said that sentence every HRR for the past 6 months.
I would argue that it's more...
well, suddenly
I would argue it's more pulling from Judaism. It's not always like folklore. Horror. I take that.
This
back.
One is like I don't. I
it
don't
all,
know.
It all kind of.
I have almost no exposure to the Jewish world and know nothing about. So I don't know how much of this is like religious horror versus folkloric horror. I don't really care. It looks interesting to me, and I'm tired of Christian
yeah.
horror.
I'm assuming. I'm painting with a very broad brush here, but I'm assuming that the name of the movie comes from the fact that in Jewish, I don't know if mythology is the right word, but in Jewish folklore. I think the demons like physically attach themselves to you, specifically like Dybbuk's do.
We watched
Golems
Demon.
Too. I think they attach to. I mean, they're more.
No, yeah. Golems. Golems are like summoned entities that are made of clay and then become.
But they're bound.
Animated overnight in order to. Yeah, they're bound to you psychically, but they're
yeah.
not like.
They're their own being.
They're a kind of attachment.
Yeah.
Sure, but I was thinking about demon, and I was like, "That's religious," and I was like, "No, that's folklore. It's both."
I don't really get what the difference is between.
There isn't much, typically,
okay, cool.
because typically most folkloric stuff, they come
yeah,
from societies
like,
that heavily rely on religion, so.
Yeah, I don't know, it's kind of interesting, like, the Old Testament would be their religious text, and it's not too, like, most of the Jewish folklore doesn't appear to be directly from the Old Testament, so it's interesting that there's folklore outside of the religious text, a thing that doesn't exist in Christianity, really, because, I mean, I suppose there's some with the Virgin Mary, et cetera, but it's a lot more boring in Christianity, like everything.
You just gotta make some horror movies about it, man.
Yeah. So, anyway, it looks pretty high quality and pretty spooky, so I'm interested in it.
Spooky.
Something I don't know that much about, and it looks pretty spooky. Dark Horse pick. Might be bad. Hope it isn't.
Sure.
Jake, you said you had a whole bunch. Any others you want
well,
to hit on here?
So not really. The other thing that I wanted to mention, though, about this month in general was there were
sucks.
Two. There, it kind of, well, okay, full stop.
Not a lot. Not a lot of winners here.
I mean, there's a lot of movies.
Yeah, there are. You know, the thing about this month is there are movies
yeah.
coming out.
There
guys.
Are like 25 movies, as always.
More than one movie about maternity.
I
which,
was gonna say
yeah.
like young
yeah, just
infant
right off
kind
the bat.
Of horror. Yeah, a bunch of them.
One there were two, as I recall. One looks significantly better than the other to me. To little old me, I'm trying to think of the
Baby Ruby. Baby Ruby looked better.
Oh, I thought
Baby
the other
Ruby
one
looked
did
pretty good. I liked
Wesera, the Bone Woman. I thought that one looked better.
Okay, well.
So I guess we're not gonna watch them and compare. I'm not gonna watch both of those things. I'm probably gonna watch neither.
Smart move.
Yeah. If they come up on a list later, that's all I'll know. And then I'll go, and then I'll maybe not watch it still.
Good talk.
Because maternity is a subject, you know?
Yeah. No, I noted that as well, though. There's a lot of, and there's one that's like not quite new parents, but still child horror focused. Like, there's a lot of parental stuff this month, which was a little
odd.
This
month fucking sucks. Fuck this month. I'm embarrassed. Like, I'm embarrassed we're talking about this month. It's so bad.
Well, let's get
it's
to our
really
top one.
Not that bad. Yeah. Jake, what's your top one pick?
Well, I'm not going to pick the Shyamalan one, so I guess Cocaine Bear. Fuck this month, man. Look, Cocaine Bear got a spot during an NFL playoff game, and I thought that was neat.
What did you just say?
Cocaine Bear had a spot during an NFL playoff game, and I thought that was neat.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge movie.
Yeah, I just guess I wasn't thinking that it would be getting a spot during an NFL playoff game.
It's
is that
such
too
a,
much?
Dude, because it's starring Kerry Russell. Like, it's a
I
huge
don't care.
Movie.
It's called
directed
Cocaine
by
Bear.
Elizabeth Banks.
This is basically a sci-fi
awesome.
Channel
it's
movie,
based
man.
On so true fun. Events, Jake.
Yeah, Jake, it's based on a true story.
I mean, it's probably, let's be honest, it's probably based on true stories. Think about how many people go and fucking hang out in a cabin in the woods, and then a bear comes in, and then there's cocaine, because
yeah.
obviously, because they're in a cabin in the woods, and then a bear has the cocaine.
Doubt, yeah.
It's going to happen.
Big problem in the woods and the cabins there.
Yeah.
Are, you know, lots of cocaine.
And bears get in.
And the bears get in.
Maybe that's what happened with Winnie the Pooh. These are
Winnie
canon.
The Pooh is
no,
also
that was specifically
a bear.
Just honey. Unless you think honey is like a street name.
Slang term. For the special
me,
kind of
cocaine
mixed
honey.
With meth that Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah,
is
I was going to say this has a little bit more methy quality.
Have you guys heard
he started with cocaine, then he got into the meth.
I can't.
Everyone says
I
cocaine's a gateway drug.
Totally. Winnie the Pooh. I think about Mila Kunis on Conan O'Brien's podcast. Who talked about like in her weird, I guess not weird, but in her Soviet upbringing, they had a weird off-brand Winnie the Pooh that she thought was the real Winnie the Pooh for a long time, named Vinnie Pooh. And I can't not think about that whenever I hear Winnie the Pooh now. This depressing Soviet bear named Vinnie Pooh.
Do you think Blood and Honey is going to come out in China at all?
I would guess not.
That's the problem. You know, you're inherently limiting your total audience.
Mark,
it's
I'm. Are you as mad at Jake as I am in that he seems
of
upset
course.
By having to pick Cocaine Bear as his number one? Because that movie looks like so much fucking
it
fun.
It does look really awesome. Fun. Yeah. I'm more mad at the month. I was still mad at having to talk about February because I'm upset. I'm not disappointed.
Okay.
I'm upset.
I went through the same general emotional roller coaster, and I think here's why. All of the good movies are at the back end of the month, so you had to watch like 17 really shitty trailers, then
yeah.
all of a sudden it was like
yeah.
bang 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 bang, oh these are actually
I think that's fair, and I'm also predisposed to be upset by shit like this because February is the worst month. This is just validating my opinion that February is the worst month of the year. It's a garbage month. At least it's the shortest.
You just hate Valentine's Day.
I do, but that's not the main reason.
What's the main reason?
Well, we live in the Northern Hemisphere in a place that has seasons,
so
and God, you know, it's we're near the end of my fill with winter. Like my skin's cracking, everything stings. Days are short. I'm tired.
Everything stings.
You should move to Honolulu, buddy.
No,
the chin
and every day is the same, and I feel like I'm in a weird daze.
No, it's not the same. It's like 75 these days instead of 82.
Jesus Christ!
It doesn't seem like much, but it is.
If you're there for long enough,
the winter,
I'm sure it does feel like a lot different.
It's
yeah,
it's lovely.
You get
plus the days are
attuned.
Like 45 minutes shorter.
That's significant.
Yeah,
you know,
it was really? Like
I don't
today
like February.
After we finished dinner, it was still light today, so we're pulling out.
I was commenting on this. Yeah. Yesterday, I felt energized at the end of the day yesterday. Today, I was like, I'm tired. It's probably because I had to fucking think about those months' movies.
Jake's stuck in a cycle. He's
yeah.
depressed
it back.
Because of this
yeah.
month's movies, but
it's
also
Cocaine
he
Bear.
Hates this month's
I
movies
do...
because he's depressed.
That is a professional podcaster move to bring it all the way. He circled his rant all the way back, and now we can just plop right back in.
Thank you.
Best
to
movie
Mark.
Of the month.
Mark, what's your top one?
Yeah, you.
Oh, it's the
do
Shyamalan
it.
Thing.
Okay, I was gonna say I did want to give it credit.
Yeah,
it doesn't
fuck,
seem
this
bad.
Movie looks awesome.
Yeah,
the only reason I don't want to see it immediately is because I kind of want to read the Tremblay book.
I want to read the
I didn't know there was
too.
A book.
Also, not only a book by an amazing horror author.
Yeah. Cabin
the guy who wrote
the
Head
World,
Full of Ghosts.
I believe is what it's called.
Oh, that author.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should probably read that book. I should probably read Head Full of Ghosts.
Head
yes,
Full of Ghosts
you should.
Is incredible.
Do you have it?
No, I borrowed it from a buddy back in Sully.
I thought I borrowed it from you, Mark.
No, I think you rented it from the library.
That checks out.
Do you rent things from the library?
No.
You borrow it from the library.
Either?
That's a big deal in the mission statement of the tool library at which I volunteer. You don't rent. You can't rent things here. You can become a member and check them out. It's a big deal.
Like, check these out.
Exactly.
Check these tools out. Cabinet of the Other World looks great. Dave Bautista is having a moment, which I
the movie
for?
Is called Knock at a Cat. The Cabin.
Yeah, what did I say?
What's the book called?
The Cabin at the End of the World.
Is
oh,
the book?
Yeah. Well, whatever. The Cabin movie.
Is that the book?
Yes.
The book.
Oh my God. Sorry, I injected so much chaos into this, and I didn't mean to. The Cabin at the End of the World is the book that The Knock at the Cabin is based on.
Perfect, thank you.
The movie directed by M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong.
He has burned me one too many times. I'm going to need
that
someone else to
bastard.
Old was so astonishingly bad. I can't believe how bad that movie was.
It was bad in the way that I really appreciate Shyamalan for. Like, it was entertaining and bad.
That still is
and
most
I'm fine with that. It wasn't bad like the Avatar was or the Village.
Or the Lady in the Water.
Lady in the Water was great.
No, it wasn't.
Oh my God. No, the Village is so much better than The Lady in the Water, and The Village sucks.
So much self-importance. It's the most self-important movie he's ever made in that sense.
Old is his most recent film, correct?
Yes.
Correct. And the one before that was The Visit?
I think so.
That was decent, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. He's back in my good graces. We are on the
career redemption arc. We understand this. This movie looks like it should be good.
Yeah.
But I'm on board with Jack. I've been burned too many times to where I still haven't even seen The Visit. I'm just like, fucking.
Oh, The Visit's good.
Shyamalan movie, dude.
The Visit was followed by Split and then Glass. And Glass sucks on ice.
Split was decent, though.
Split was decent, yeah.
And Glass was good for the role it was filling. They wanted to make a horror superhero movie, and they did.
They made a bad horror superhero movie. I mean, your only criteria is make a movie, a horror movie, that has superheroes in it.
You want to make an omelet, man.
Check that off the list.
Well, he did. Yeah. You did check it off the list.
Why wouldn't you check it off the list?
Because you could make
how many lists have you made that you don't check everything off?
That's the whole point of having a list.
Every list I've ever made, I've never made it to the end to
that
check make,
That
off.
Actually checks out. That makes a lot of sense.
But Mark, to your point, Jonathan Groff stars in this, and that dude's straight up amazing.
It's got a very solid cast. The concept looks interesting.
It
if you can, avoid watching the trailer because I feel like it probably gives a substantial chunk of the story away. Jack, what's your top one?
Mark, I'm just going to say I'm with you. I'm not against you, but I'm going to let you watch it first because, oh boy.
We've already established that we are not on the same page with what constitutes a good Shyamalan movie.
Correct.
So my recommendation to you will mean essentially nothing.
Wrong. We are on the same page with what constitutes a good Shyamalan movie.
Yeah, I think we are. I understand what you're saying about Old. I'll be able to translate for myself.
You're more lenient with your Shyamalan movies than we are.
Yeah, okay.
Like, Signs is obviously
My top one was Cocaine Bear. I love Keri Russell, looked like a ton of fun.
Sure.
But I'll also talk about We Have a Ghost, which looks fucking hilarious.
Like it could be funny.
David Harbour. There are some funny parts in the trailer. David Harbour's a ghost that goes viral and then exists in the real world. Then it's an action romp. Looks fun.
It also has Anthony Mackie in it. I love Anthony Mackie.
He's great.
It could translate as being relatively soulless, though.
It felt very E.T.
It did feel very E.T. I think it's like that's
but like that way was, less, way less, yeah,
way
less,
less
soul.
Good. Yeah, they're like the
I
zhuzh,
that was the
it
pitch
just doesn't
meeting.
Have it.
It's E.T. but with a ghost and without the heart.
Yeah, we. You know how capitalism is like particularly good about wrenching the fun and love out of things?
Yeah.
Let's do that with
that.
a beloved childhood classic. Let's do that.
But
again.
You still can't go that far wrong with David Harbour as your E.T.
Probably not, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, looks hilarious. I would have picked Cocaine Bear because come on. But
yeah,
there's some other stuff I want to talk about here because The Unsettling actually looks like a pretty decent haunted house.
Started out as a bit and then he couldn't get it back.
Yeah,
in the
exactly.
Haunted house. It looks pretty decent. I'm worried it is trying to say more based on the trailer than like other just be a spooky haunted house movie, but it looks pretty good.
Just be a spooky.
Swallowed actually caught my attention.
I was going to say
that
Swallowed.
Looks
I kind of like Swallowed.
Weird, and that looks like tiny budget, but really good.
Yeah.
And very unique. Like, so essentially, to wrap this one up, it's about two guys who are smuggling drugs, who are forced to smuggle drugs in their tummies, so they swallow the balloons, and then one of the guys gets gut punched, and the balloon breaks, and he's just overwhelmed by incredible psychedelics that might also induce body horror. I can't tell.
Yeah, body horror was in the description, but not in the trailer.
This might be like a special kind of like space age sci-fi drug that does extra things to you as well. But I mean, it looks like a tense crime thriller that then turns into like
wacky
body horror shit. So I'm down. That looks fantastic.
Absolutely. And then also The Strays looked pretty good. This is like a family moves into like a gated, weird, ultra-rich suburban community. And
yeah, also Netflix.
Kinda,
Netflix is having a thing
Netflix.
Going on.
That leads me to believe I should keep the expectations where they are.
Probably. Yeah, I mean, they do have a tendency to just sort of like throw stuff on there.
They put out a lot of like.
They have a high floor for what this.
They have a lot of movies. Like, they're passable.
Actually, while we're on the subject of Netflix, the other one that I had highlighted was Unlocked, which just looks like a Ratter sequel.
Oh, I don't remember that one at all.
That was the
kind of Korean.
Yeah, I was. I think it's Korean. Lady loses her phone, and it gets hacked by some guy who then turns into a stalker.
Yeah,
probably more of a thriller and more horror-ish than anything else. But given that we just reviewed Ratter in the last year, it gave me vibes to that one too, and I fucking love that movie. So
damn.
Yeah,
I thought Mean Spirited looked like it had some good jokes.
Which one was Mean Spirited?
Yeah.
It was almost exclusively jokes. It was friends away at like a cabin for a weekend or at a rented house, and most of it was like the dude, the one guy, like making jokes, commenting about like getting drunk at 10 to be able to play the drinking or the game they were playing.
And, like, yeah, okay.
Being happy because the toilet would flush. I don't know. Fuck. I don't remember the point of the horror. I don't remember what the ensuing horror is in that movie, but it seemed like it had the jokes. It's a bad month. I don't have much to say, man. The important part, we talked about Skinner Inc. last month. That's actually coming. You can see it this month. It's coming to Shudder. So
yeah, by the time you're hearing this, it will have been on Shudder for about a month.
Oh, God. At least.
If not more.
Jack, don't do this to yourself. We're enabling. Don't do this. Don't do it.
You wear the mask long enough, you know? The mask of a guy who doesn't do things on time.
I'm done talking about February. I'm done talking about that, and I'm done talking about February.
All right, let's go to the feature presentation. Over at 82horror.com this week, we watched 2015's Girl House. Now, Mark, you picked this movie, and explain why.
It's a good movie. I had talked about this a long time ago as something that had crossed my radar. This was actually originally a Bill Simmons recommendation on his podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. What was their stance on this shit?
Don't
go too deep on that. Just
he's like a decent enough friend with Jason Blum that he's been on the podcast a couple times. And he likes horror movies, and they talk and give each other recommendations and stuff. I think this was one that he recommended to Jason Blum when he had him on, if I'm remembering that correctly. But he just mentioned it offhand as like, that's a really good movie. So I put it on my list, and then I watched it, and I was like, that's a really good movie. And then when we were doing the thing, we talked about this when we did the draft, but when we did the our favorite overall movies, our top 10 as a podcast, and one of the recent Patcasts that we did, all of us had some in our bucket that were like, I haven't seen this enough times to tell you whether or not this is in my top 10. And this was one of those for me.
Really?
So I chose
it. I don't remember that.
I do not remember this being anywhere near that revered by you.
We have had this conversation.
Mark, we are us. Like, I don't know how to articulate this, but...
I mean,
this is the only way this could go.
Having watched it again, I don't think I think I remembered it being better than it actually is, but it's still a good movie. It's a really fun, no extra depth needed, just a dumb fucking slasher.
No rating spoilers, but are you comfortable saying that this is not in that bucket that's near your top 10 at this phase?
No,
this
not stage? Near my top 10, but certainly on the good side of average.
No, okay. I'm comfortable enough with that to proceed with my life.
This is my number one favorite movie.
I had not seen this movie before. I maybe had heard about it. I think maybe we talked about it a little bit in our cam discussion.
I'd recommended it to you guys when I watched it originally. So
yeah,
I mean, I've seen it. I saw it once when Mark recommended it.
Yeah,
I watched it and I thought it was okay.
There you go.
So I'm here to talk about my second viewing.
First viewing for me. So we got the two repeats and a newbie. That's fun.
Yes.
That's typical.
Mark.
Super fun.
Why don't you hit us with a 30-second plot synopsis, being that you picked this movie. 30 seconds are on the goddamn clock. It's going to start when you start.
Oh, my God. How do I stretch this out? Okay. Ally Corbin plays Kylie, who is a beautiful collegiate lady who's studying... her degree, and then decides to supplement her income by joining a cam house where her and a bunch of other pretty ladies, you know, do porn stuff. One of the guys, lover boy, who's in their chat, always becomes obsessed and then flips his shit when he sees a picture of himself in the background and making fun of his appearance, and he goes full slasher mode, kills everybody, and then at the end she smashes his head in with a camera after he kills literally everyone else in the house.
Time. I mean, that certainly took 30 seconds.
You missed the strange origin story of Loverboy.
The origin story.
You wanted me to include the origin story of Loverboy?
A little boy so had a small penis and was made fun
of. Chose to for some reason.
That is such a weird choice. That's what we open with. That's how we're introduced to this film.
It's one of the ways you know this movie
was
written by a man.
Right? He was peeping.
A small boy
Tommy
is forced to...
Tommy has the peeping. As the peeping, Tommy.
What are you referencing?
I'm referencing... No! That's William Seymour Hoffman in The Talented Mr. Ripley. Tommy has the peeping. Tommy has the peeping. It's so good.
I don't
William
think
Seymour Hoffman is incredible. That movie's great.
Tommy, how's the peeping? Tommy, how's the peeping? Tommy.
No shit. Of course he's great.
And that movie's great.
He's peeping on some girls when he's a kid.
No.
They make him show him their little penis.
He's not peeping on them at all. What are you talking about?
Isn't he peeping through a thing at the very beginning?
Which movie are we talking about? Are we talking about The Talented Mr. Ripley, or are we talking about...
No, we're talking about Girl House, and he's not...
Isn't he peeping through
a hole? They knock on his door and pull his pants down.
No, I thought that I missed...
No, they're chasing him, and then they catch him.
I thought that's because he, like, peeped through a thing at them, and they caught him.
He's not doing any peeping, as far as I... No.
I don't believe he's peeping.
We're one, literally, 5 seconds of the film, and we can't agree.
Well, Mark and I agree. You just can't agree. We've reached a majority agreement.
So, actually... I'm happy to hear you guys say this, because that's the mythology that I put in my head to, like, sort of not make him a weirdly empathetic character, which I don't agree with, but it seems to be the direction that it took.
Yeah, I guess you're kind of supposed
it's
to feel
more,
bad for him at first.
Yeah, it's more empathetic. Yeah, no, your mythology is better.
Yes, that's why I thought it existed. I've seen twice now.
No, it's one of the reasons you know this movie was written by a man and no women were near the production really whatsoever.
Goodness gracious. Well,
there's many, many ways.
So he was peeping, right? He was peeping for sure. There's some background peep that happened.
No peeping.
Well, they make him show him their little penis. They make fun of him, and then he that's what instills the rage.
That's how you know it's not his
then
fault.
Then he has
that's
the
how
rage.
You know it's not his fault. He can murder at will then. Whatever.
Your Honor, he had the rage.
Yeah,
so he throws one of the girls. He throws Selena Kyle from the Gotham City TV show off a bridge.
That is a specific reference that I cannot follow. But
she
okay.
plays young Catwoman. That's Catwoman.
Well, we're going to talk a lot about Albie from season 2 of The White Lotus. I expect you don't know that reference either.
There's going to be a lot of references being thrown around. That's our shtick. I think. I don't know.
That is the specific shtick that people come to this podcast for.
Yeah, we're pretty dense on the pop culture references from 1990 something.
Like, hey, White Lotus is this year, brother.
Nice. Overall, I give myself an A+ for my 30-second plot synopsis.
Good work. So, why don't we talk about what in the fuck subgenres of horror this fits into, except for slasher, because I'm taking that one.
Yeah, it's pretty much just that.
Yep.
Canadian.
Of course it is. Yeah, that's it. I don't care.
Yeah, there's really nothing else.
Yeah, I don't know why you're searching so hard.
Yeah.
It's just a slasher. And that's one of the things that this movie does right.
Okay, good.
We can transition into that, right?
I like it. Yeah.
Real hard.
Yeah.
The last third? Sweet.
Yeah, you're
pretty
making...
sweet.
Yeah.
I'm making, like, the chef's kiss. Right. The last third's a pretty cool slasher.
This movie doesn't overcomplicate itself, which is, I think, a thing that we see more and more with movies coming out now, where you always have to have... I go back to, like, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie from 2022, where they could have just made a Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie, but no, they had to layer in some, like, school shooting stuff that she's recovering from a previous...
Yeah,
like,
I think...
Sometimes you can just make a slasher movie.
Yeah.
Well, I understand what you're saying, Mark, and I agree
keep
with
it
you that the
positive.
End,
you've
there
gotta
is,
keep it
there
positive.
Is no, they have divorced themselves of any possible message, but I don't understand why the first two thirds of this movie
you
are
keep it
setting
positive.
Itself up like it has some kind of message. So I don't fully agree with you.
What
I
message you do you think it's setting up in the first half, other than people are conflicted generally in her life about her doing porn?
I don't know. Like I don't know why true. The whole scene with Albie from The White Lotus, why his character exists at all.
Can you at least tell us who Albie from The White Lotus is playing in this movie?
Her love interest. The guy who stalks her and then screams at her for doing porn, and then she says, "Well, will you still date me, even though I'm damaged goods?"
He wasn't
and then
screaming.
He's the
you
hero.
Are wild. Now you're misremembering how this works. He doesn't scream at her at all.
He was very nice. He was very nice.
No, no. But he stalks her and then says, "I know that you do porn, and I want you to stop doing porn." And at the end of it, she says, "Well, will you still date me?" And that's when I bet myself $1,000 that this movie was written exclusively by men, and I was 100% right about that.
I mean,
he stalks this woman. I'm worrying what it does right. Fuck.
Yeah, I've been saying that. You gotta say something.
But what I mean is,
he lovingly stalks her. Okay,
it's so strange that
it was a very. You know what this is shades of? It's shades of like the era in the late '90s, early aughts of like. The dude's just trying to do the right thing, but it's all from like that misguided male gazy perspective. It's
like it's all from a really fucked up dude's mind.
Insert the name Trips sort of movies.
Yeah.
Those shits. The American Pies, like they mean well.
It came out a decade
sort of
after a
There's
lot of
less,
those movies, though.
You don't get
Luckily,
it, guys. He's just horny, and she's just hot. That's a match made in heaven.
Luckily, with this movie, you can tell that it is made 20-something years later because he's not just trying to get laid. Like, he's actually interested in her, ostensibly.
Yeah.
Sort of.
That's why they have his ginger friend who is just the horn dog.
I really wish this was made like 10 years earlier and it was just an American Pie kid just trying to get laid.
Fuck.
Anyway, that kid is one of the main characters of season 2 of The White Lotus. He plays a character named Albie, which I thought was interesting and noteworthy.
That
totally noteworthy.
Is noteworthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've now noted it.
We've noted it.
It's so, one of the things the movie does best.
To swing it back, this movie is brilliant in its simplicity.
But again, I disagree that it, like, because it's not simple. It's when they're setting up all the security
Pretty
procedures
fucking simple,
in the house,
dude.
Like all, but when they're like her safety, her exploitation, there's a lot of stuff that it's like teeing up that it then just says, no, it turns out I was only using that as like a vehicle to get this slasher in here. This movie saying nothing about exploitation of women, nothing about like people who are telling you you're going to be safe or really using you. There's nothing. So I like the simplicity,
Jack,
but I don't like that 2/3 of the movie then is saying nothing. Then it's setting up for way too long.
To Jack's point, the horror starts at about 50 minutes into this 90-minute movie.
Yeah.
So you get 50 minutes of character development.
Yeah, and to
people going on here.
To stick with the prompt, which is what
Thank
the movie
you.
Does
Thank
right.
Thank you for keeping us on track.
I want to just build on the slasher aspect or the last third of this film. Because I think not only is it a good just kind of like, at that point, if you view it for what it is, like a good, fun slasher, but I actually really like the way that it's executed. And I think to a certain degree, like it can only exist in this way. If the slasher rings had been happening for 90 minutes or 70 minutes of a 90-minute film, it wouldn't have the frenetic pace that it has where he is just running rampant around this house, right? I think that the speediness of it is to the movie's benefit, and it makes me like it more for it.
Agreed. To clarify, I think the pacing of this movie is very good. I just think it's notable that only 50 minutes of it, or I'm sorry, 50 minutes in, you still haven't gotten to any slashings. Other than the very, very beginning one.
I can't really disagree with what you're saying about the pacing, because that is something that is different than the choices the movie makes about what it wants to be.
Jake, you said that very well. Yes, I agree with that. There's no point where I was wishing it was at a different pace, like something different was, you know what I mean? But when you
For
get
what
to
it
end,
is,
wish...
it does the things right.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
It's just that
and
we have some questions about why it is what it is. Why are you the way that you are?
To your point about why the last act is so effective is this villain is fucking terrifying.
Yeah, he's... Slane, Boston-born rapper.
Yeah.
They use his his songs throughout the film, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's interesting.
Without taking into account some of the nitpicks that'll come up later, he's like technologically a genius. He's physically imposing. The scene where he dominates the security guard they have there is the guy they say he's a former linebacker.
NC State linebacker.
He's definitely
not
a linebacker.
They hadn't had a winning season in like fucking when would he have played there in the 90s?
That guy's not built like a linebacker, but nevertheless,
I would say he's built like a linebacker.
He might be built like a linebacker 10 years ago.
He's too lithe.
He wouldn't have to be at playing weight anymore, man.
That's true.
You
but
see
either
what
way,
a lineman looks like after not playing for a couple years? Damn.
That scene
my brother-in-law is a collegiate lineman at UCLA.
Yeah, he's probably fucking just cut to shreds.
He's very live.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have to get to that. It's hard for them to be at that style weight, playing weight.
Yeah. Either way, whatever. The scene where the security guard is first attacked by the guy who's like, come here and find out what happens. And he's set up as this ripped guy who's there. And then the guy just fucking ruins him in like a 45. Like, it's so, like it's not
seconds.
Even close. Yeah, it's incredible.
This professional security guard sees a dude in a mask walking up. Isn't he carrying like a tool chest?
A toolbox, like an old school toolbox. Yeah.
Yeah. Like one of the, it kind of looks like a lunchbox type thing. And he's just like, well, certainly I can just persuade this person to leave. And then, oh no, I've been maced and my neck has been broken.
I'll physically intimidate this guy. And then, no, you won't at all.
Yeah. Wow, it's crazy. He's 6'8 and has 200 pounds on me.
But the villain is great. I like the mask and he's really intimidating.
The mask is super cool.
Yeah.
I like this. This is borderline like neat pick, but I'm putting it here.
Where he cuts the lips off the mask.
I love it where he cuts the lips. It's so sick, dude. Because it's like, it's lit well. He cuts it off. He has that like gaspy breath. It's just like.
It's a great
creepy
scene.
And weird.
I don't know why
like
it's in there, but I love it. Yeah, that's a really
effective scene. It's in there because it's creepy as fuck, dude.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
I feel like one of the things I'd written down, which we've already shat on, and I don't want to go back to it, but here we are, is I do kind of like the amount that we see into his world, Loverboy's world. Like normally, if you take this with the pool of other slashers that don't really have a deeper meaning, all of the like 80s slashers and stuff, you don't really. I guess with Michael Myers, you get some backstory and stuff. But like other than that, it's mostly just like, you know, the coal miner shows up and he's killing people or whatever.
Yeah.
And in this one, I do like, you know, you get that backstory that is totally ham-fisted in execution. But I mean, overall, it's a pretty brutal scene that you get to open the movie. And all of the stuff, all of the scenes happening in his basement, the weird, like, psycho thing he does while he's sexually harassing that lady at the job. And then she comes and intimidates him and he pretends that he's
when
killing
he's,
her, all that stuff. Like,
he,
I like how much of his world we see.
Yeah, we see the world where he, a genius computer programmer, is taking a crowbar to a fuse box and trying to pry it out. It's insane. The one
just,
scene they show of him doing his job is just bananas.
Like, just like, A, you do have to, like, manhandle server racks sometimes, but
yeah,
B,
I was a cable puller, Mark.
Just as much as this movie wasn't written by women, this was also not written by IT professionals, believe it or not.
No, it was not.
So there you go. But I do think, yeah, overall, the villain holistically is what makes this movie work.
Fully agreed. Also, you said Ali Corbin. Isn't it Ali Cobrin?
I don't know.
It is. I had the same issue.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I was saying that in my head, and then I looked it up, and I was like, God damn it.
Well, if you were saying it in your head, why'd you look it up?
Because I did this to myself when I was, like, loading. Okay, I bring up the movie in, like, different tabs in case I need to reference something.
Uh-huh.
And I was doing it, and smart. I saw the people that were acting in it, and I was like, that doesn't look right. I did a double take because in my brain it was Corbin, and it's Cobrin.
It's Cobrin. Okay. Yeah, I was wrong. Brief bout of dyslexia.
We spent way too much time on how little that matters.
We talked about whether or not Outwaters had a "the" at the beginning for like 2 solid minutes.
That's fair. That's more important, though.
Jesus Christ.
Than a woman's name?
Ooh, fuck.
The lead actress.
You're right.
Jack, bleep it.
You're
bleep
right.
It
that's
out.
Wrong. No, it's fine. I don't remember her name. I can't remember her name.
I don't know the character's name at all, by the way. Is it Michaela? I don't know the character's name.
It's not Michaela.
Kylie.
It's like Kylie.
I did. This is one of the movies. I do this from time to time when there's
a K involved.
When I feel like I need to know the characters. I started doing this with The Thing because it became fucking impossible to remember
which
dude in a plaid shirt and a coat was the one we were talking about. So I started writing out all the names. So I got all of them right here. There's a surprising number of characters in this movie.
Also, I guess while we're talking about actors, Adam DeMarco is the guy who played Albie in season 2 of The White Lotus, and I don't know his character's name.
It's Adam DeMacro.
Oh! I hope you're being serious.
I'm not.
Oh, damn it.
I'm not being even slightly serious.
Well, that was a good joke.
Thank you.
What was the love interest name, Mark? Quote unquote love interest.
Shit.
Oh, let me guess.
Okay.
Patrick.
Why do I not have him?
I don't know
here?
Anyone's name in this movie.
Oh, he's second. Yeah, Ben.
Fuck.
Ben.
Okay. I knew in my head that it was a single monosyllabic name, but I couldn't do it.
You just can come up with a monosyllabic name?
No, I said Patrick, dude.
I know. You couldn't. So I'm asking you, did you go against your gut?
Oh, no. I could not think of a monosyllabic name. I just refused. I couldn't
My
go
God.
There. I couldn't
that
go there.
Was
that
terrifying look
syllables.
Inside your brain?
No, I want to hear your
I was like,
monologue.
My monologue was, I think it's monosyllabic, but no, fuck that. There's no way that's a stupid thought. It has to be multiple syllables.
Trying to fuck with me again. I know you're trying to fuck
with
me.
It's the simulation runners, dude. They're trying to make me do a certain thing. I'm not going to let them. It's a fight power.
In your brain? In your world,
it
you're
all,
living in a simulation, but
they
have control
of
your brain?
All living in a simulation, Jack.
But somehow you have a different free will that
not enough,
is separate
only,
from your brain.
Only enough control of his brain to suggest things.
Maximum chaos. Become ungovernable.
Now, I will grant you this, Jake. Hannah makes fun of me all the time because I do sometimes, like, I've thought to myself and told her that I think to myself, like, well, brain, this is another fine mess we've gotten ourselves into.
Yes, exactly.
And she's like, you are not different from your brain.
Yeah, because that would be, like, someone who really believes in their soul might be the type of person that would do that.
Yeah, but souls don't exist.
You aren't one of those people. Yeah, exactly.
No, souls don't exist.
I do.
No.
I do a similar thing, but it's more like past me versus future me type of situation.
Mm. Oh, no. See, future, current, future, present, my brain and me are both mad at past Jack's brain and past Jack.
Future me hates me.
But also, you're actively trying to fuck with future Jack.
That was
oh, yeah.
Reference.
Fuck that guy. He's a chump. I'm always pawing
yeah,
stuff
that guy's
up
a
onto
rube.
That guy. That Jamook.
That guy who's editing the podcast right now. Hey, future Jack.
Where are we?
What else does this movie do right?
I don't fucking know.
Well, the only thing I had in what the movie does middle, because I'm out of stuff it does right.
Wait, whoa, hold on.
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
Tell me if this is a dumb thing. I think that this movie, one of the other reasons I think this movie works really well is because it's surprisingly wholesome. Is it okay to say that? I mean, I know there's like the whole stalking.
I mean, it's okay.
The stalking thing resolves itself well. But what I'm going for here.
It's okay for you to say it. I think we're both going to disagree.
Okay.
I'd like to pounce.
I don't see, and I'm somewhere in the middle
Jack,
of this.
Jack has his butt in the air and his tail's wagging. And what I mean by this is the girls in general are nice to each other. There's not like, I feel like if you make this show now, I go back to Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Kind of a similar setup.
Yeah.
Bunch of girls in a house. Slasher. Everybody hates everybody else. In this movie, everybody's kind of friendly with everybody else. In the house, outside of the house, the guy who's running the whole operation is seemingly a pretty good guy.
Yeah,
they make
fine.
Him gay, which is an interesting twist that they never
they
do anything with.
They don't go anywhere with it.
Which is kind of an awesome thing in its own right. I fucking love
to
that.
To not comment on it?
Yeah.
I mean, sure. Okay, fine. In the grand scheme of what this movie does, middle or wrong, that's not one of them.
I think that that whole side note thing was just an incredibly funny and interesting little bit that they did for 5 seconds. But I think that like the movie's characters are inherently likable, which is not something you always get.
Not the second build character, not Adam DeMarco's character, not.
You're really
he's
gonna go on him.
The
yeah.
Worst.
Okay. Well, whatever. We can just get past all of that. I honestly don't care too much about it because the movie doesn't care about it.
Yeah, that's fair.
But that's a problem. The movie should care about it.
Why?
I don't like him. I find him insufferable from start to finish. He's in love with this girl that rejected him before or didn't pay attention to him. Then he finds her on a porn site.
I don't think
he
rejected her before. He would just they didn't.
She never
connected.
Noticed him.
Yeah.
He stalks her. He finds her on a porn site. He stalks her. He berates her for doing porn, and then
again,
she asks
doesn't
him.
Berate her.
He does berate her.
You're like wildly misremembering that.
No,
scene,
he
okay.
does berate her.
Okay.
And says she shouldn't do it.
I mean, we have de-escalated from scream to berate. So
yeah,
the
so
next
we're
time,
making progress.
They
have a cordial conversation in which she's immediately defensive, but then
should
comes
start and end with "You found me on the porn site and stalked me here." That's fucking creepy.
In fairness, his friend did tell
him
that that's what would happen and he shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And that friend was right. That's what should... He is a fucking creepy weirdo.
But it didn't because she likes him.
Because her character was written by a man.
That's probably why, yeah.
So then she says...
Wholesome.
You have to let me make my own... I am going to make my own decisions. You won't tell me what to do. Also, I no longer care about any of that. Do you still want to date me? I don't understand what you mean by the characters are likable. Allie Coburn's character is likable.
All of the girls are also likable, other than the heroin addict.
The main jealous one is awful.
She
and the heroin addict puts
she's
the
not awful.
Guy's
she's,
picture
they do
up
like
on
an
it.
Initial
they
scene where
stuff
she's
about him.
She's kind of rude, and then they neglect that as well. I thought that was going to be like the competition because you had so much of that in Cam. The easy comparison
is
we
Cam.
Haven't gotten there is Cam.
Yeah.
And
where there's like competition. And yeah, I mean the one like
but it doesn't go there here. Like they're all pretty good. They like there's
yeah,
a they actually have a scene with dialogue where like all of the girls are around a table. I think it's when the heroin addict comes back and they're like, "She has your room now, right. She's really nice," and like everyone's in agreement. Like they like her.
Yeah.
So I kind of agree with you, Mark.
But they're not characters.
I see what Jack's saying, but I also think that Jack's view of like how this movie is was seriously influenced by watching this in two pieces, and I'd be fascinated to see what it'd be like if you just sat through it once.
I also think that this is an
plus,
opinion that
I don't disagree with what he's saying from like a general perspective, but the movie chose to be the way that it is. Like it, I can't say that it needs to be different. I can say that like I wouldn't have made this movie, but. It is what it is. Like,
well,
that's the direction it took.
This is also a movie that is now 7 or 8 years old. And in 2015
yeah, things have changed.
Or 2014,
since then. Yeah.
That was still like a totally normal. Honestly, like, this shit has shifted so much in the last just 3 years.
No, I completely agree with that.
Right? When was the big Me Too movement was 2019 ish?
It's 18? Shifted in how the public reacts to things. It hasn't shifted in how I think an actual woman would deal with being stalked and reprimanded by an asshole stalker.
Probably fair, but I'm just speaking to mostly like the way that movies are created.
Yeah, the way things are represented.
Superbad is
media.
Not that old, and it is much worse than this. As well as a handful of, I mean, Sex Drive. There, that's a better movie.
Yeah, I was going to say Superbad is like a different case. Like, whatever. That's its own thing.
Sure.
But also, like, I don't... So I guess I don't... I just disagree with you that the Allie Coburn is a likable character. There aren't
Allie
any...
Allie Coburn and the girls. Devin is sort
but they're
of
not
mean
characters.
In her own way, but then they accept her.
But they're not
you
characters.
They're not characters?
They are... They
have
significant
no... Significant screen time.
They're there. They don't do... They're... There
We're saying...
and they're nude. That's it. And then they interact with Allie Coburn. Like, they don't have...
My brain is breaking. There's too many different theres.
There's no there there.
They're there and they're nude.
I don't know. They don't there, seem like characters to me. They're there to be exploited and that's about it.
I guess that's what I'm saying is I feel like there was less exploitation in this than I felt like there. Something I said about Cam too. For the amount of porn that there could have been in this movie, there was less porn than I thought
there was
going
no,
to be.
No, yeah, there was, well, from your main character. There was no...
not from the main... There was some.
There was some nudity, but yeah. Not from your main character. It kind of makes me wonder, like, is this movie taking cues from, like, the exploitation films, but then it didn't want to go there? Because that could create that awkward balance, too, and then you've created the situation that's kind of like what we're describing, but your intent was totally different.
Look, you could make this movie with almost no nudity, but this movie didn't do that. This movie has a ton of nudity in it. It wants to be a TNA exploitation flick, but it doesn't want the baggage that is associated with that.
There's like two scenes of nudity in this.
No, there is. Mark, there is a lot of nudity in this movie.
There's like a few breasts.
I did watch this like 2 weeks ago now because of
there's a few
I thought
breasts.
We were recording.
One of the characters in particular like just doesn't have a shirt on like at any point in time.
There is the one that's just like the naked girl.
Yeah.
And it doesn't add anything to the movie other than it wants to be a TNA movie, but doesn't
want
the baggage
that's
associated.
There's a big
with
difference between there is casual nudity at times and TNA exploitation movie. There's a pretty big difference.
I don't know if the movie, if the nudity is to no effect. I don't know that there is too much of a difference.
I mean, we're belaboring the point. You can go work for the MPAA if you want.
I'm not saying it should be censored. I'm just saying it's not like it. His art should be judged as poor. It's not.
Who's? Who are we talking about?
Director and writers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're. If you're making a movie, especially in 2014, about a porn house, there's going to be some nudity. Similarly, like Cam was a much better version of this movie.
Yeah, what I'm saying is
that was
Cam
written
has...
and produced by women and had an equivalent amount of toplessness in it.
Yes, but it also has stuff to say about the exploitation of women. And when you have nudity that with, and you're not saying anything about having the nudity, then you're just exploiting, by definition, the nudity. You're using it to no other end.
All right, you got me on a technicality, and also I want to move on. This movie's also, the kills in this movie are also very, very good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is what you need to make a slasher.
Agreed. Yeah,
slasher
is
good.
The good sauna thing. You got what? I mean, Devin gets fucking brutalized. That one's pretty hard to watch, but it's, I mean, it's a good and thematic killing.
The sauna kill was interesting. It's going to come back up in nitpicks, so we don't need to belabor it here. I liked it. It was interesting. It was confusing.
Yeah, and then you have a few others that are just like, she got thrown over a railing and stabbed with a horn, but I mean, whatever. Overall, the brutality of it mixes well with how, I already said the word wholesome, and I'm going to use it again here, but how wholesome the first half of the movie is. Let's move into what the movie does middle. I feel like we spent way too long.
The tale of two movies part.
I had, the only thing I hadn't done, we've belabored at this point, is its simplicity, because it's a double-edged sword for me. I agree, it is effective, but also then all the parts where slashings aren't happening feel kind of like wasted space to me, if it's not saying anything, and it isn't saying anything. So.
And to me, it's tale of two movies. Like, I don't necessarily think that's what the movie does wrong. I think that if you have the first part of the movie before the slasherings happen, build up, character work, whatever, it's a totally different movie. I don't have a problem with that in a vacuum, because kind of to Jack's point, I think it's going somewhere. And then when it makes that hard turn, you have a good slasher segment, but they seem self-contained and they don't connect super well. So I'm not having a bad time watching either part of this film.
But there's just no synergy.
I don't find there to be that much synergy now.
Yeah, and then when you look back on the first part when it didn't do anything, that's, you don't know that that was weird, but it's weird when you look back.
More or less.
That really didn't bother me. I thought it was.
I mean, I'm putting it
in
the middle.
It's a character setup.
Jack, this is a hard
setup.
Wrong. To me, it's you have two movies that are two, like, distinct things that are happening that don't mesh well when you think about the, like, thematic arc. But it's still, like, a cohesive film if you think about, like, beginning, middle, and end. It certainly has those.
Yeah, it sure does. And I think the simplicity does very much sure help it does. from a slasher movie perspective. Like, that's to its credit. And I it gets credit for not trying to say anything, because God knows they couldn't have. But
I mean, to me, yeah, this is, we do this a lot on the podcast, but I think that this movie was made because they had that concept of, like, deranged lunatic in a mask, like, tearing up a cam house.
Yeah.
And then they added on a shitload at the beginning.
They shot the movie and they were like, fuck, this is a half an hour long.
I would have, that would have been fucking rad. Like, if that's it, if you had like 5 minutes of this is why this is happening.
Welcome to the house. The cameras are on all the time. Here's the security guy. And then the next scene is the masked killer coming around.
And then even an interaction with him sitting there one time. Like, you could do that in 5-10 minutes max. And then
it'd be incredible.
Like, you have a short movie.
A host length movie? Yeah.
That'd be fucking.
The host was like, it was 70 minutes.
Wasn't host 55 minutes?
I think it was 7 hours.
Yeah.
It was
near 60. I think you would have a better product at the end
for sure.
So yeah, that's why to me it's middle. What was it,
57? But that's got to include credits, so
yeah. I mean, do that, do a cut of this that's just that.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't do that.
You can't.
We're working toward a world where that can happen, but sub hour long movies, standalone episodes of long form television don't really exist.
Okay, that's fine. I can just tell you, though, if this movie existed with a cut that was like exactly what we just described, I would think it's fucking awesome.
Here's what I would cut out, which is what I had in the movie does middle. The one thing that I would say this movie does wrong from a pacing perspective is there's a lot of times where they feel the need, I think, to remind people that everyone's watching them in this cam house. So there's like dialogue, they're having dinner or, you know, romancing each other or whatever, and they're just cutting back to the like weird roommate kid who's also a fucking IT genius. Everyone's an IT genius in this movie. But
the ginger.
Keep cutting to people who are like watching the girl house.
He's pretty charismatic. He was kind of a scumbag, but I did like him a little bit.
Oh yeah, he's like a little bit of comedic relief, but cutting back and forth between like a regular scene that you're kind of enjoying watching and like more or less a meaningless silent shot where other people are just looking at the screen to remind us that they're there is a very weird pacing element that I think sucks you out of a lot of, it's like a weird tone break for a couple of these scenes.
I agree. Why do you have it in the middle?
Because it's also important to, like, I think it sets the scene, but I think it's detrimental to the immersion.
All right.
I think you have to set up sort of the panopticon of this world a little bit, that people are always watching. I think that does help it thematically.
Okay. Yeah. I get your point.
And it also isn't like exceeding. I don't even think I adjusted for that when I gave it my immersion score. Like, it's just something that I was in my brain when I was watching the movie, but it didn't like overall really weigh the movie down that
sure.
much.
Okay.
Fair enough.
What to do wrong, guys?
Yeah,
Jack.
Let me
ask you guys this. Why, from a screenwriting perspective, Albie from The White Lotus Season 2.
Oh, my God. Just
Adam DeMarco.
His name's Ben.
Ben and his roommate. Why are they in this at all? At all. You could do everything that needs to be done with her roommate you've also introduced.
You're asking the same question. I mean,
no, no.
You don't
need
any of
that.
Why is she there either?
I don't think he necessarily has asked this before. You're right. He's a completely unnecessary character.
Other than the director thinks you need a young male, handsome guy for people to identify with, and his dumb friend.
That's why they're doing it.
But like that's.
But yeah,
not
you could have given 100% of his role and his roommate's role to her roommate.
They set that up initially with that because she's like watching her thing. And
I guess my question is
commenting
in
on
the
it.
In what this movie actually became. Why is her roommate in it?
Yeah, right? If you're going to shoehorn in Adam DeMarco and his roommate, why?
Those are
why
those two,
roommate?
The group, the two dudes and the roommate are really at odds here.
Yes.
Pick one. Pick the roommate.
Pick the roommate. Yeah. Just make the roommate be studying
roommate.
Computer
and
science.
She's
and
also
figures
the
it all
only,
out.
The computer Done. Science doesn't really help. The roommate saying, did you call the correct police department, which also isn't a thing because 911 doesn't let you choose, but...
But you can call the police line directly.
I mean, yes, you can call the non-emergency local police department line after hours, and that
which
will
is,
get you there
which
faster.
Which is not
than
what you should be doing if your friends are being murdered.
True,
but like she's the only one that actually does. I mean, wrongly, but that does solve the problem. She's the only one who actually does anything. What does the genius roommate actually? What is he? What information does he end up providing?
He's not supposed
I
to
mean,
be a
he
genius.
provides the exact location that they are at. He's the one who actually provides the place they go to feed to the cops.
He's not
for them
supposed
to
be a genius.
He provides it to the cops?
Yes, so because he's able to. There's some like dumb CSI science bullshit here where he's like, I looked at where there was the most power consumption in rural. Where are they? North Carolina? I don't know.
They're in North Carolina.
So he was able to like determine that there was a place in the woods that was consuming a lot of bandwidth because he hacked the ISP or something.
Yeah.
Something along those lines. But so he was the one who figured it out by unplugging a cable from his computer. It's a dumb fucking scene.
The inclusion of the Adam DeMarco character and his roommate, for me, are very hard what this movie does wrong. They add nothing and they take a lot away.
I completely agree with you. I don't know if in the moment watching this movie I was as perturbed by the fact that they existed, but in retrospect, yes, that is a better way to write the movie.
It didn't bother me either. Right, I was just like, oh, I'm like we already talked about it. I'm watching one of these.
Now that you've pointed it out, like, that's the better way to go about it, but certainly did not bother me at the time.
But you're like, it's like you're trying to make a good movie, man.
You're like, what the hell, dude?
With a message and shit, man.
So for me, I mean, that's that the movie's just like being in this world, having a female protagonist who's like experimenting in this porn space and maybe being exploited, but then having just absolutely nothing to say about it with all these extraneous characters that are in there for no reason other than they want young men to identify with this movie. Like that's all that stuff is what it does wrong. It has nothing to say.
I don't think it has a lot to say.
I would be more pissed. Like, you're mad that it has nothing to say. I don't know that it was attempting to say much.
I hope you're going where I was.
I would be mad if it thought it was saying something and it wasn't.
Yeah.
And I'm
That's what I fucking hate. If you're going to try and say something and you botch it, that's 100 times worse than what this movie is, which is not trying to say anything.
To me, this is just like
making a dumb slasher.
It didn't go super far into the realm that it could have gone into with the exploitation.
Yeah.
It's a little bit soft corny, which is like, look, I'm not looking for
soft corny.
Soft corny. It's kind of corny too, I guess.
Yeah, there's
in corny. A way. Yeah, it could have gone a lot further in that direction, and I would have disliked it more for it, probably, because when you add that to the lack of any sort of a message, which is typically even some of the like more basic slashers, you have something, like there's a reason the final girl exists. If it had done that, I would have liked it less, but it's just like a very basic film. If it was trying to say something and did it poorly, that'd be fucking way more annoying.
So much worse.
I agree that would be much worse if it was at all preachy or self-important, and it isn't those things. But it is...
Yeah, because then it would be mansplainy and done it in a bad way.
It for sure would have done it in a bad way. That's a good and goddamn guarantee.
So, we've already talked about Loverboy, good villain, kills, sufficiently brutal and entertaining, but what this movie does wrong is... how fucking tropey it is. There's case in point would be the Devon kill when he's sneaking up on her. She's like the main girl who's really kind of catty to everybody else. And she went private with the boyfriend's roommate.
Tugboat.
I remember Tugboat.
Okay. That was something we did right too. The screen names were really good again. Yeah.
Went private with Tugboat, and then he's like, is there someone in your room? What's going on? This is a 300-pound guy who's like 6'6", 6'7". I don't actually know how big Slane is, but...
with the feet of a kitten.
Exactly.
He's quick. He's
prancing around her room in absolute silence. Yeah. At times, literally standing so close, he is touching her, and she's like, what? There's no one in here? What's going on? What are you talking about? No.
Must be the candle flicker, Mark.
Tugboat, yeah, it must be the candle flicker with this giant human being behind you. But beyond that, you have all these other things of, like, not double-tapping in when he gets knocked out the first time, and, like, the whole exchange with the second security guard who comes in, who just gets stabbed in the neck because, I don't know,
she
fuck
didn't
it.
Bother me. It was fucking stupid. Like, I fine. It's super tropey. If you want to be, like, the extreme level of tropes gets annoying, fine. But I didn't care.
For me,
at that point, I was looking for a release.
It's to
man.
A point where you're, it's to the ultimately to the benefit of the movie because dumb fucking slashers need dumb fucking slasher tropes. But also, if you're us and you've seen hundreds probably at this point of slashers, it starts to wear a little bit. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, sure. And Mark, kind of along those same lines, the techno babble Deus Ex Machina of the whole movie really started to grate on me. The fact that it's just like, this place is so secure, you don't have any security to worry about, except for when the lover boy can hack through and she doesn't tell anyone. And
smartphone from 2015.
On an
iPhone 2.
But then also all of the door and window locks are electronically controlled and can't be physically controlled. He can lock the windows from the outside with a phone and she can't unlock it from the inside. Like, so it has that level of technical sophistication, but it also can be hacked very easily.
It's got that CSI charm to it. You know,
there is a genuine zoom and enhance when he's looking at the picture of himself on the board.
Yeah,
he zooms and enhances. Yeah. And it's 10 years too late for that.
Yeah, at this point, all of it's now just in the same bucket in my brain of, like, everything that happened before 2017 is just like, yeah, that's fine, I can do that. But, yeah, there's, like we said earlier, this is not a movie written by IT professionals. Certainly not IT professionals that were women.
And so I elevated the many, 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 like, technobabble Deus Ex Machina things into what it does wrong. Because they did start to grate on me.
I'm going to blow the whistle now because we're getting close.
Please do.
Oh, we're there.
A lot of what this movie does wrong is giant amalgamations of nitpicks.
Yeah, yes, exactly. To the point that they achieve, what the fuck?
They evolve and they congeal into a mass and turn into what the movie does wrong.
My first note is neither a nitpick nor a neat pick, but it's a question for you guys.
Okay.
The girls who pull down Loverboy's pants and say it looks like an acorn, that line felt so specific to me that almost certainly happened to the director, right? Like, that's for sure from direct personal experience.
Like an acorn?
They're just telling stories, you know, just telling real world stories.
I don't know. I mean,
kind of looks like an acorn.
Like a button in a fur coat, man. Except there's no fur coat.
That's a much funnier way to say it.
There's no fur coat. Yeah. And it's just a button. You can't say a button. Hey, it looks like a button.
I'm not gonna
way less punchy.
Conversation.
That's a good call, Mark. Let's move on.
What, did I cross a line there? We're just making
no,
references.
Jack crossed a line by bringing it up.
Yeah.
But yes, it does. It does sound like something that was just from
for sure
life.
Definitely yeah. happened to him. She for the amount of detail she leaves in the voicemail to her mom when she first joins Girl House is shocking. It's like, how much exposition can we cram into 15 seconds? I don't know. I'm doing
voicemails
great at college,
are brilliant
mom.
For exposition.
I don't need your money anymore. I've got a great new job. They're going to start paying me soon. I'll be able to send you home money. You don't have to worry about me. Okay, bye. That was a voicemail. Her mom never comes up again.
That's true. You never once. That's the other. Not, that's another one. You never hear from her mom.
So
never
on that note, yeah. On that note, one that I had was like, this is the closest it got to making me think that it might be going for something message-wise, is she talks about how her dad had passed like 3 months ago. And so you're like,
yeah.
oh,
oh
she's
that
like,
is in there too. I forgot.
She's
I'm
spinning,
doing better with
right?
dad's
like,
death.
She's in grief. She's spinning. She's turning to this. There's going to be something about like how you deal with the loss of a loved one, right?
Nope.
Never mentioned again either.
Nope. It's why. Also,
a couple
I feel
loose
like
ends
if your kid
in this movie.
Goes from "I need your help to pay for my tuition" to "I can start sending money home from your medical bills." Like those are two wildly disparate stories.
I mean, not if you go from making zero money to making some money. You could pick up like a bartending job or something and get
that,
pretty good
that,
tips.
Yeah, but that doesn't go from "I no longer need your help paying for college" to "now I'm going to send you money back home."
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. All of a sudden, I'm making $20,000 a semester. Don't worry
yeah.
about it.
And I have tuition covered. Yeah.
Also, I can buy all my books, which is an additional $10,000 somehow.
So much more in law school. It's
oh,
like,
look at me, I'm Mr. One-Upsmanship over here.
Well, I am pretty scarred, Mark, by the first time I went to try to buy my books for law school. My debit card was declined, and the fucking 18-year-old who was working there held it up. And, "Hey, Jody! Jody, this guy's card was declined. What am I supposed to do?" Screaming across the library.
He does that 25 times a day. It's the best part of his job.
Anyway, what it was a ton sorry. Of information to be left in one short voicemail. It maybe warrants a check-in with your daughter. Maybe give her a call in the coming days or weeks.
Maybe. You know, maybe she became an underground plastic surgeon. I just, some questions are left unquestioned.
Exactly.
Yeah, unasked. That was the word I was
there.
Trying to come up with.
Got there.
The questions remain unquestioned.
Yeah, it's better if questions don't become questions.
This movie has two different instances of using "begs the question" incorrectly. So, good.
Does it actually say that?
Yep. Two different times there's where people say "that begs the question" when they mean "raises the question." One is the class she's attending, the professor says it, and one is Adam DeMarco.
There was a conversation happening in another chat earlier today, Jack, and I used the phrase "begs the question" in hopes that you would jump in.
I was already too far behind
yeah,
in everything else
yeah,
that was going
yeah,
on there.
Yeah.
Did not go unnoticed, Jake.
Good.
Have you ever had a... I also noticed it. Have you ever had...
Well, that was my whole fucking point of using it.
Well, your joke landed. We didn't comment on it. And now
I
we're
feel
providing the gratification.
Unvalidated. That's...
I'll call later and I'll leave
no,
you a
that's
voicemail.
Weird. That's,
explain.
Yeah, it better be long, though. Detailed.
Voicemails are such a great tool for screenwriters.
I hate voicemails. I hate
it's
them.
The
There's nothing worse than a fucking voicemail.
Wait,
if I have a
second
voicemail,
laziest behind news headlines.
If I have a voicemail,
well, you're
from
saying
a family
two different
member,
things. You're saying it as a screenwriting technique.
Yeah. I'm talking about
Jake's saying in real life.
Jake is saying in real life.
If I have a voicemail from a fucking family member, I am certain someone died. Certain. Otherwise,
I'm gonna start
just
leaving
a text.
You voicemails. I'm gonna. Figure
I wouldn't care about it if it's you. I know it's some dumb shit. You're not gonna tell me. I mean, shit.
Within the next week, I'm going to have a baby, and I'm going to leave you 17 voicemails just like, "Hey, Jake, just so you know.
You're going to be way too fucking busy for that."
Everything's fine. I just want to let you know you're good for tonight.
God. Fuck voicemails. Harbingers of doom.
I feel like I've rattled off six straight. Someone else should go. I have more.
Slane, the
go.
Dude who plays Loverboy,
yeah.
when he does talk in this movie, it's just Boston accent. Just Boston accent.
That's a neat pick,
I mean,
right?
No.
Not pick.
It's a nitpick because he's very clearly not from there.
Yeah, he's supposed to be
film
Tuscaloosa or something.
He's from the South. Like it's yeah. He's the girl he kills is a Jesus piece wearing Southern accent talking girl.
Jesus piece wearing accent talking.
Southern accent talking.
Whole accent talking.
Southern accent.
He's accent talking.
He's Boston accent. He's from like Southie. This is a vastly different place. That's thousand miles away.
He has like two lines in the whole movie.
Yeah, but they're Boston.
Okay.
That is exactly what a nitpick is.
Yeah.
Okay.
You
Jesus
did it.
Christ.
You
no
did,
one
no,
likes
you
when
did
I
it good.
Do a
that
good
was
nitpick.
A good nitpick.
A fuck. I took you off.
I'll leave
you
a voicemail about
Lord.
Later. That
I don't want the voicemail.
But I mean, you know.
Beggars can't be choosers. I get it.
Yeah.
For a movie that works as hard as this does to establish
I'm getting Jamie Tacoed over here. God.
Jamie Tacoed's taking all my lines. That works as hard to establish that people are always watching these girls, and that Loverboy in particular is always watching, like even on his phone and stuff, and always watching the protagonist with whom he's obsessed. I find it hard to believe that he didn't see that it wasn't her that took the picture out of the room and then hang it up and then write on it. Like, that's just
Do
a very
see
convenient...
Who does that?
Yes, it's the drug addict goes into her room and finds the picture of Loverboy that she's
gotcha.
Hidden away.
And I think I was looking down or getting a spoonful of peanut butter at that point.
It's just like a really convenient lack of
what?
12 or more hours that Loverboy should know it wasn't her.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I think the overall rage episode is induced just simply by the fact that the girls, who all seem to like him, have his image now and are making fun of him.
Sure. And that's the closest movie gets to a message is the
don't make fun of people.
Sex workers who are performing for you don't actually like you. Don't fall into that belief. There's no sex in the champagne room.
And also don't make fun of the kid that's kind of ugly and weird.
He's probably going to be so fragile that he snaps all the way.
Yeah, you never
Although,
know when there's going to be a psycho in the mix.
Yeah.
In third grade, a bunch of kids told me that wanted to kiss me under the jungle gym, and I didn't want to go, but I thought they'd make fun of me for not going. And then I went into the jungle gym, and she said, "There's no way I'm kissing you," and then left, and everyone laughed at me. And I was like, "Well, I didn't want to in the first place, and I'm not out there killing a bunch of people for it."
See? Yeah, exactly.
Good for you, Jack.
Yeah.
You rose above. You rose above that one.
Thank you. Rose above that almost guaranteed killer
rise above
birth
it.
Moment.
You can't do it.
I don't know what song.
That's a Cool Runnings song.
Oh,
song that's in Cool Runnings.
I love that she gets to this house and is introduced to it by there's cameras everywhere. They have one private bathroom, which is where they all take their shits. Most of the bathrooms have cameras. Every other room in the house has cameras, and including her bedroom. And the first thing she does is she puts up a picture of her and her parents on the nightstand facing the camera.
And she's also not living there, right? She stays with her roommate a lot of the time.
And that seems kind of weird, too, for the pornhouse side of things. Like, I'm just not working today. I don't know.
I went on a date for 9 hours.
I live
it's
off campus.
So strange.
The amount of money this place is spending on, like, Ubers is insane.
A private driver, yeah. To pick her up from 75 miles away, which they say like 8 different times that Adam DeMarco lives 75 miles away.
This is a global enterprise, though. I mean, if you're charging like a membership fee, they're making bank. They can pay a driver.
Yeah.
The thing that I find surprising is that they don't have like the thing that inherently limits this as a business idea, you guys, is that they don't have any way of going out and partying on the town, which is a thing that I feel like you would want as an experience. Like, the girl house girls go out on the town.
They bring people in.
Yeah, they do. But, like, I don't know. If you were watching this, wouldn't you get tired of, like, seeing the same house over and over again?
I don't know. I wouldn't subscribe to this website.
That's true. This is not my thing. Oh, this is not really a nitpick. I just have a question. Why do heroin addicts bend spoons? I've seen that, like, a million times. Like, why can't you just use a regular fucking spoon? Why does it have to be bent all the way backward? When they burn it. They burn it from the spoon.
Yeah, I understand that. I don't have an answer, though. I was trying to search to see if I might, but I don't.
You don't have to bend your arms as much to keep them far apart.
It's ergonomics. Those heroin addicts.
I think it is literally
somehow
carpal tunnel. It probably is.
I doubt that.
Yeah, that can't be it.
Why not?
That.
Why?
I buy that it could be like a thermal transfer thing, but even
that.
Wow,
wait,
really
no, that makes a lot less sense.
That makes...
Like, you don't want the part that you're holding to be as hot? I don't know, because of the bend?
But how... A butane lighter is not heating a stainless steel spoon enough in the handle to have that make any difference at all.
Plus, you're a heroin addict, like, whatever.
So not really a nitpick or a neat pick at all. That's just a question I have about life in general. Listener, let us know, you know, write in.
That's like also,
or maybe I'll just
like,
do a cursory Googling.
Isn't that like a thing
recording.
Like psychics would do and shit too? Is like bend spoons of their minds.
Psychics would pretend to bend spoons.
That's because bending spoons is easy as fuck.
Yeah, I'm aware they didn't actually fucking do it, dude. I'm aware that magic is a farce.
Whoa!
Sorry.
We have kids listening.
Santa's
real.
I
recently went down a rabbit hole of watching a lot of James Randi on old talk show videos. They're so great.
Who?
The Amazing Randi.
I don't even...
He was a guy? Like he was a very famous stage magician, and in the '70s, then he became like he's a very famous skeptic, and he would debunk a lot of stuff. Only he would not call it debunking, but like he would go on shows, very famous talk shows that would have psychics on, and do the same tricks as them right after, and say, "See, this person's full of absolute horse shit," and just to watch all of the fake psychics and fake scammers just like break down when he's like, "I have a very simple proposal for you. You claim to be bending the pages of this phone book with your mind. Let me put some packaging peanuts in front of it so I know you're not blowing on it." And then they'll like walk around the stage for 10 minutes and be like, the spirits are gone now. It's great. James Randi. If you haven't, James Randi is amazing. The Amazing Randi. He's incredible. It's lovely stuff.
Also, The Masked Magician is truly
important. I love The Masked Magician so much.
We already did this. It's different.
I have one last one, which is... wouldn't you say something to security if you are living in this impenetrable sphere of IT systems and
where
someone's
you can't
able
unlock
to
the
casually
doors from the inside. Yeah.
And someone's able to casually inject a picture of themselves on your screen without anyone like if you print that shit off, take it, give it to the go show it to the guy, the god man in the camera and be like, take care
Look
of this.
At this. Help me with this creep.
Philip or whatever your name is. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like I feel like that's probably step number one. It's her fault all these girls got killed.
She didn't help.
his name's
like,
Gary.
I like the 911 operator that when the roommate first calls, like, what the fuck do you want us to do? Yeah, I think that's how 911 would treat. Oh, you're watching women getting murdered? Yeah, well, life's tough, you know?
Honestly, this is I called the non-emergency number, which is probably the difference between my experience and the experience in this movie, but I had a front row seat to death threats happening a while ago. They weren't directed at me, but someone was repeatedly calling my work phone and leaving voicemails and wouldn't respond to me if I texted them or picked up myself. So they would just leave these voicemails. This is another voicemail story. Now, here we go. That were long and winding roads over the course of multiple months. And they finally boiled over to the point where I was worried enough that I reached out to the local non-emergency police line. And due to the fact that my work phone is from Salt Lake and I am from here, I called both the Salt Lake line and the Boise line, and both of them were just like, we can't really do anything. What? Sorry, buddy. Fuck you.
I haven't heard that. Very strange. That should not have happened. Also, the FBI has a cybersecurity line for people, the protection of victims, that you should also call when it's especially interstate like that.
Well, you're telling me this now. That was 8 months ago.
He could be dead now.
Again, none of this was directed to me. She thought I was her sister, I think. I don't know. Whatever.
It was a
long
lot.
Story.
Sounds like a lot.
It was a lot.
But along with the 911 stuff, it's not, you don't, he definitely didn't call the non-emergency local police department at 11 at night or whenever it was, and that made the difference. You call 911 and you get to the local, the closest available dispatch station. You don't get to pick.
Doesn't the dispatch can direct your call to somewhere, can't they?
Yes, they can. But you don't call, like, you can tell them which, but the roommate says, call this police department, and that saves the day.
Well, but what she could have meant, to give them the benefit of the doubt, you could say, call 911 and tell them to reach out to the police department in this town, instead of call 911 and they'll just direct you to the police department in your town.
Well, sure, but the 911 he called the first time, he didn't tell them any, he's like, I don't know where, I have no concept of what town or where or anything. So I don't know why then he didn't tell them the town in the first place.
So then what would you expect them to do here, realistically? Like, aside from being curt and you know, not elongating the conversation for the sake of making this not a 25-minute long scene where he's just talking to a dispatcher on the phone.
I mean, he's going to be on hold with dispatch for a long time.
Okay, so that's what he said. I'm still on hold.
Yeah.
And they just play, like, the Careless Whisper is, like, quietly playing.
Oh, that'd be, but that'd be also, good old music.
How did the local news show up at the house before the police? The local news arrived before
the
police.
Well, and they did. So yeah. The people who are driving 75 miles to this town show up before the local police from
with
that town.
With lights and sirens. And the news van also showed up first. How? Who called the news? It's a Nightcrawler situation.
Yeah. That would have been, yeah. How far off was Nightcrawler from this movie? They were roughly the same, maybe a little bit later Nightcrawler was. But that would have been really
funny. Nightcrawler was like 2017,
yeah.
Yeah. Jake Gyllenhaal
out,
was
Jake
actually
Jake Gyllenhaal gets out of the van. That's what I would have done if I were him, just to be a little bit more immersive. I would have tried to get roles as the local police reporter showing up to crime scenes and like adjacent
movies.
That
would have been great. But that was also another part where it felt like the movie was maybe trying to say something when she comes out and the local news is there. She's like, no more cameras. Like, what? What is that adding to anything?
Yeah, like, we have too many cameras in our society, man. Anyway, cut to black.
So weird. I'm out. I'm out of nitpicks.
Fade to black and play the Slade song. Slain, whatever
the
his name
totally
is.
Very incoherent Slade song.
The, we are contractually obligated to have a certain number of your songs in this movie.
Yeah.
Credit song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. One more. Her computer towards the end, it has enough internet connection to still be viewing the external view of Girl House, but then also she can't send an email. So that's a very specific IT lock he's got on the house.
That could be a LAN versus...
You're saying she's connected her private computer to the intranet, and he's blocked only the outside connection to the
exactly.
internet.
Exactly. Yeah. That could be what it is.
That's probably what it is.
There's plenty
they
of
thought,
that.
They thought about that one really long and hard. That's actually a neat pick, I think you'll find.
They that cut was, a whole scene of discussing intranet.
Well, they also have, like, the camera that she's using has, like, the Girl House watermark on it, though. Like, that's not... That wouldn't happen.
No, okay. None of it would... It's...
It could.
It would.
I don't think this really
I want
happens.
The deleted scenes. I want the director's cut 2.5 hour
Everyone's...
long version of this movie where, like, the NC State linebacker guy is explaining all of the IT ins and outs to Kylie, and she first shows up and to the house and is just doing a fantastic job of explaining all of these loopholes.
Maybe he is. It might be a
That's
hobby.
That's what I'm saying. I
he
think
might
they
be a hobbyist.
Cut it just to make it a really tight package.
This is tight. Yeah, this is a tight package.
It's tight. This is a tight package.
Talking about a tight package.
Let's go to ratings.
Rise and shine. It's butt whipping time.
We over at A to Z Horror use a 1 through 10 rating system to rate the movies we watch. For one, the Gavon Molypnos would rate how low the clay is.
My name, Molypnos.
Mm-hmm. Can you spell that, please?
M L E P clay.
Did you say clay?
Yes, the clay is silent.
And for 10, think about Walter White would rate the likelihood that he's the one knocking.
I am not in danger, Skyler. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot and you think that of me? No. I am the one who knocks.
Story is the first game to watch these movies. Mark, this was your pick, right? The thing for story.
I went straight down the middle on this one. I gave it a 5.5. It's not going... I think this is essentially what I mean by... It's not overcomplicating things, and that was a strength of the movie. It's just, there's not a lot of story here. Girl moves into this house full of attracted women, and then slashing's happening. That's it. That's done.
Yeah. Jake, how about you?
This might be, like, the rare occasion where I'll put, like, some of the slightly more finer elements into story as opposed to immersion. So, like I said earlier, this is the tale of two movies for me. I think that the first segment, it's really the first two-thirds of the movie, exists okay on its own. It is what it chooses to be. And then the last third is like a banger slasher. That's a weird balance for me. That's a weird balance for me. And then in addition to that, there's a lot of questions that I have around like the character and why we're doing what we're doing. I gave this a slightly lower score than Mark. I went with 4.5. A little below average.
I gave it a 4, and I think it is to be lauded for its simplicity. I think that's very good, but then I can't, like, I mean, I talk about when there's a substantial chunk of the movie taken up by characters who, from a screenwriting perspective, shouldn't be in the movie at all. There's no reason to have, it's just like such lazy exposition with the voicemail to her mom. There's such weird pathos trying to feel sympathetic for the villain in the opening 10 minutes of this movie. It's just, there's so many.
He was scarred by childhood bullying. I think that's bullying.
It's not
I think
his
that's
fault.
Why I kind of did this, because like it is so simple that like the things that happen...
The things that they did do are more glaring as a result.
They feel more like they need to be part of the story. Yeah, they are more glaring. They're more obvious, certainly, because there are fewer of them.
I agree. So I gave it a 4. It's pretty rough, but it is... I mean, they did.
I mean, I've seen a hell of a lot worse.
The important parts. Yeah, absolutely.
But it's...
Absolutely.
A little below average for me.
Yeah, I completely agree. World building and immersion. Mark, what is your world building and immersion score?
Yeah, give this one a 7, which I think is probably a little bit high. I don't know. I guess I'm curious what you guys are going to give it. I think this is good on both counts of immersion and world building. On the world building front, the house is well realized. It might be a bit of a Danielewskian nightmare to like connect all these hallways, but I still feel like the rooms themselves are... this feels like a palatial estate that they repurposed into this like media empire thing. That part makes sense to me. And the overall positioning of like the security bunker and all that stuff... It all fits together relatively well, and just the world of what Girl House is feels well realized. We talked about this earlier. This is a really small thing, but like the cleverness of the screen names, I think, plays in here as well. Like they created it in a way that I think they were having fun in the writer's room when they were doing this. And then just from the immersion standpoint, I think that's where what I was saying earlier plays in, where the relatively like likability of the characters comes in. You might not necessarily like the boyfriend or whatever, but I think the relatively genial interactions between the girls really helps prevent this from becoming hard to watch. Like, you want to watch people get along on screen. You don't really, at least I don't, want to watch people fight for 90 minutes.
Not for 90.
Not for really any length.
I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of conflict that's inherent.
A little bit
of horror.
Conflict, but like, it's not, like, it's easier... There's much more art to writing conflict that's easy to watch than there is to just having your characters get along. So if you want to write an easy movie, have your characters get along and then have like an external threat happen. And they're
sure, that's
aligned,
fine. That's
right?
Fine. Yeah.
There can be a little bit of cattiness and competition amongst them, but like they don't hate each other. They like each other. There's plenty of scenes where they're getting along.
Yeah, and to be clear, this didn't bother me.
That makes it a very watchable viewing experience.
Yep.
Jake, how about you?
I went with a 6 here. There's not a lot that I have to add compared to what Mark said. Like, it's just a slightly lower score. I think that overall, again, there are two parts to this movie. Those are the parts that they chose to make. They are what they are. I found both to be...
Are you going to say this
relatively? Yes, probably now. Okay. Well, now I certainly am not. both are immersive in their own right. I found the world building to be, like, okay. Everything that you said makes sense to me. I didn't think about it as much during my viewing experience, but I don't have any particular gripes, I guess. It's when you start to get into like really thinking about the technological aspects that you could nitpick the shit out of this, like we kind of did to a little bit of a degree. Could have been worse. Thank God we didn't go there.
Yeah. I give this a 4. I think, I mean, it's clear that the character stuff
unwatchable
did not...
swill.
like it's... It didn't work as well for me as it did for you guys. I think not only did I not like the characters, like that, do I think the characters of the boyfriend and his roommate don't need to exist? I didn't like them.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
a very good point.
I also don't think, like, I was not charmed by the interaction of the girls. To me, that just felt like I don't want to write more characters. Let's just have these girls get along and they won't have any personality traits other than I'm here and sometimes I take my top off. So we just won't.
Those are great personality traits.
Hey, look, they're super, super important. But so for me, it just didn't work that well. I agree that the house is well realized. I didn't think about it not connecting very well until afterwards, Mark, kind of like you said, but it just didn't do enough to really bring me back in. And we're living in a world where 911 is a weird combination of angry and important people and
apathetic.
Everyone has the genius hacking skills they need at precisely the right moment. So that took it out of me, took me out of it from a world building perspective. But
took it out of him too.
Took it out of me. It did.
Clearly, he's exhausted.
I am exhausted.
Look at this guy.
Woof. That's going to take us into effect. Nope. Scare factor. Mark, what's your scare factor score?
It's kind of hard to rate these slashers overall, but I gave it a 6. I mean, I feel like It's a once the ride starts, it's a fun one to be on, and there's sufficiently brutal kills here. There's like people being stalked in the dark. There's pretty creative approaches. You never brought up the sauna in nitpicks. You said you were going to bring up the sauna in nitpicks.
Yeah, well, to her, she seems like she's having trouble breathing, but then her skin is blistering, and then she pokes a hole, and she's trying to breathe in the oxygen. It doesn't know whether she's suffocating or burning to death. And it
it would be that the heated air is burning her lung, her alveoli.
Right, and if it's electronically controlled, then there's its upper rate limited, even if you break it, and if it's gas controlled, it only has so many burners. It can't get, there's no possible sauna could get that hot. It's a Final Destination sauna.
That part's true.
Is that a problem?
Although, there are saunas that get that hot because the World Sauna Championships happen, and those guys, like, pretty frequently die of heat exposure.
What the fuck?
Yeah, but they don't die of their skin blistering off from being exposed to it for 15 seconds.
Dude, have you... Well, maybe not 15 seconds.
What are you talking about?
Maybe not 15 seconds, but their skin does fall off.
What are you talking about?
I vote we continue to just ignore Jake. I mean, they do have severe burns. They go up to like 200 degrees.
Fair enough. This one didn't, and not that quickly.
Yeah, probably
and
not
also,
like a random commercial.
She's acting like she's out of oxygen was the main issue. She pokes the hole, and her first step is to breathe in the air from it with her mouth.
Well, because her lungs are burning.
So is her skin.
It's a six. It's a six. I gave it a six.
Jake?
I want to know what the World Sauna Championships are and why there's just deaths. There's just deaths.
What additional detail do you want?
I understand conceptually what a World Sauna Championship would be.
Uh-huh.
But it's just like a bloodbath? Like people just... what are you talking about?
Yeah, 10 people die every year, Jake.
People have died. And I think it's... My understanding is it's a test of how long you can stay in a sauna for how
in extreme height. Yeah, it is a Jake. It's not like it is a physical endurance from exposure to heat challenge. So a lot of people die from heat exposure.
Okay, fine.
Just look it up.
But also, Mark, those aren't electronically.
Do a Google image search and turn your
safe search off.
Yeah, turn safe search off.
Just see blistered skin.
Don't do
no.
that, listener. Don't.
How about no? What am I doing? Scare factor?
Probably. I don't
know.
Oh,
boy. I gave this a 5, and I felt like I was going high, because I did find the slashering to be, like, really impactful.
It's sort of like, where do you put generic slashers?
But I really liked...
It's a lot of violence.
I said this earlier in the podcast. I really liked the way the slasher part of this film unfolded. It was quicker and more frenetic. Like, there was an advantage to this happening over a shorter period of time than most. And I really like The Mask, man. Like, that was good, but the majority of this film is not that. So I had a hard time with this category. I think I gave it the benefit of the doubt because the part where it was horror was more impactful to me than I expected it to be. But that said, like, no, you're only getting it for a third of the film. It should be 100% of the film, because the film should be fucking 50 minutes, because let's do a different cut.
For the record... I feel like this is a pretty average structure of a slasher. Maybe not like
I don't think it is.
Maybe not like a Jason or a Michael Myers type thing, but even then.
Maybe not like the iconic most classic slashers in existence.
Not the most iconic one.
Maybe more like a Scream, but even like a Scream like starts with a brutal kill.
So does this one.
No, it doesn't. I mean,
I guess she like breaks her leg and she's
got she crashes
face.
Onto the road. Great. I mean,
yeah. Okay, fine. This is more like a Scream than it is like a Friday 13th or Halloween or something like that.
More I gave plotting. It a 6 for scare plotting. Factor. It's a scary one. When it is scary, it is very scary.
When it is what it chooses to be.
He's an extremely threatening villain. I think he's physically very imposing. He's quick, even though he's huge. He is cat-like. And he's
silent in the darkness.
The scene when he's behind when Tugboat is in the private chat is also really scary and cool, because like a shitty webcam quality. Like he's hiding in the darkness there with the flickering candles. It's a scary movie.
The part of the movie they set out to make is good.
It is very good.
And then there's another part that takes a long time.
I'm very tired of this bit now. I've grown weary.
It's still true. Effects are judicious, lack thereof. Mark.
I gave it a 6.5, and I have almost nothing to say on this front. It looks good. Whatever.
Jake?
So same reason, same score. I was almost verbatim what I was going to say.
Six. The only part I'm penalizing it for here is when the leader of the girl house, when he slashes her face open with a razor blade, that stops bleeding the second she sits down at the computer 12 seconds later. Like she would still be bleeding. Face wounds bleed a lot, and she would be bleeding profusely. And it's just not. They're congealed cuts at that point.
That's fair.
But
could have had some really good blood.
It's decent. Yeah, it's decent.
Her hand stumps overall were funny. They were like twice the size of a hand. They were good. I liked it though. It was funny because they were like, those are two hands.
Got too much fucking shit on me.
Yeah, there was so much shit on her.
Mark, what's your overall score?
I gave it a 6.5. And again, I have almost nothing else to say. This is just, it's a good straight of the middle slasher, dumb, fun. You don't have to pay too close attention, but if you pay closer attention, like, you're not gonna be turned away. Like, you're not gonna find more nitpicks. Jack, give it your 3. Whatever, fuck off.
Jake,
yeah, I gotta go first.
He was giving me
so
the
you
business.
So you're saying it's like a fastball slasher or straight down the middle slasher, which for you is a slightly above average movie.
I would say this is also overall, I think this package is better than just a down the middle like a Scream 5.
Oh my god, I would rather watch this than Scream 5. Because at least this is its own IP. Like,
aside from the IP things, give me another standalone slasher then, I guess. But whatever. Like, this is a well-made movie. This is good. It's put together. The only thing that's keeping it from being higher, and I've said this before, is I do think that ultimately a meaningless movie is kind of capped at how good it can be.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I don't enjoy watching it. This is a really fucking fun movie.
Sure. Just no longer near your top 10 of all time.
I'm glad I watched Seems it. Seems like I didn't include it. I just remembered liking it fondly.
Hey, man, I get you.
And wanted to watch it again.
Damn. Jake, what's your score?
You gave it a 6.5.
Yeah.
I gave it a 5. I think it's slightly below average.
You're dead to me.
Wow. I think it's fine. It's just there's not enough. It's not short enough, or there's not enough time spent on the good parts of the film.
Yeah. I gave it a 4. The bad parts of the film are worse for me. I think those parts are, I think, like, really bad. And that's fine. But it ruined its own simplicity. Should have been nice and simple. And then it's added in a bunch of characters. So.
What do we give Cam?
While I'm scrolling up, let me ask you this question. Would you still recommend this to people?
Yeah, this is the to whom you recommend this. Yes, I would. And it would be to people. It'd be to someone who's interested in slashers and they've seen a bunch, because I think this is a pretty under the radar slasher.
Yeah, it's a good modern slasher.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's who it would have to be for me. Someone who's interested in slashers they probably haven't seen before, but like is deep on slashers. But apart from that person, I'm probably going a bunch of other directions first.
Yeah, yeah. This is to the slasher fan who's seen everything, but this is a pretty deep cut.
Yep, that makes sense.
To answer your question, Cam got. You gave it a 7, Jacob. Jack, you gave it an 8. I gave it an 8.5.
Sure. I mean, fine.
I'm just generally higher on porn-related movies. I think
Cam is 4 points better than this movie.
Cam is a much better movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's also a very different movie.
Yes.
Like, it's a very different movie. This is ultimately a slasher that's not trying to be a lot. Cam is fucking weird.
Cam is doing
a lot. And is trying to say a lot.
Now, this is interesting. American Mary got 6s across the board.
I don't see that to be a similar...
No, it's not. But it was just another one that I picked that was in like an adjacent space of sort of...
Exploitation of women.
We 666 that?
So, yeah, we gave it a 6s across the board. I gave this a 6.5, and I stand by that. I think this is a more recommendable movie than American Mary. You guys were both below that, though.
Yeah, I would recommend American Mary in almost any
too.
Circumstance.
Okay.
It's interesting.
So, our rating system is perfect.
It's
works
an objectively
exactly
perfect rating system. We've said
before. Damn, we're good. We've calibrated. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Let's do it.
This has been episode 272 of the A to Z Horrorcast. If you're still here hanging out with us and you like what we got going on, as Jack mentioned at the top of the episode, you can become a Patreon member. They get some sweet perks, potentially picking movies for us to watch. Those are always fun because you get really different, interesting things.
You could make us watch the number 23 if you want to, as an example.
Or Mark might do that.
Don't do that to us.
Hey, look, you get some sweet perks. You can also know your money's going to a good place, not our dumb asses, as it has been for at least the last year at this point, I think. It's going to Planned Parenthood. That's going to continue to be the case for the foreseeable future. As always, the music is coming at you from Super Bear. Their link's down in the description below, along with, as I mentioned, our Patreon link and anything else that might be of import. Next week, we are going to be, I don't know why I say week anymore. Next episode, we are going to be reviewing a me pick, first one of this crop. It is the Midnight Meat Train. I'm curious to revisit this one. I saw it once. I thought it was an interesting film, and that's about
the... That would be interesting.
Yeah, I think it will be interesting. And that's about what I have to say about it for right now. We can say more when we do the full review, which will be coming at you next time on the A to Z Horrorcast. Until then, get your buddies, grab some beers, and go watch some horror movies.
How many lists have you made that you don't check everything off?
That's the whole point of having a list.
Every list I've ever made, I've never made it to the end.
That actually checks out.